We pray together. What are we looking for? What are we looking for this morning as we've gathered? As we hear the words of John the Baptist, look, the Lamb of God. May your mercy be made known in this time together as we are looking for such mercy. In the merciful Lamb of God, we do pray. Amen. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You may, I think, by now have a particular understanding, at least perhaps you should. You know, we've been in the weeks of Advent. Two of the 4 weeks of Advent focus on John the Baptist. Last week, we had the baptism of our Lord. We heard a whole bunch from John the Baptist as the heavens open up. John felt like he was not worthy to baptize Jesus of Nazareth, and yet he did so to fulfill all righteousness. So two Sundays in Advent, John the Baptist, that same Baptist who, when Mary shows up and Elizabeth is already preaching from Elizabeth's womb. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. So we know that John the Baptist is a critical figure to pointing to who Jesus Christ is. And so the text for today. John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world." Later on, and the next day in the same text, John will be with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." I mean, it's kind of funny the way it all unravels, sort of casual. He's standing around with these disciples. "Hey, guys, look, Lamb of God." Peter, Simon, later his brother Andrew, is there. And one of John's other disciples are there. "Hey, guys, look, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You know, so often in paintings and in various depictions of John the Baptist, he is always pointing to the Lamb of God. You have three of those renderings in your worship folder this morning. John is always pointing the Lamb of God. Sometimes John the Baptist has a banner with him, and that banner says on it in Latin, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he's pointing, and the Lamb is there. Sometimes the Lamb in the paintings have John pointing, and the Lamb is bleeding. Sometimes it's just this beautiful Lamb image. As we see on page 9 of your worship folders, he is cradling and feeding the Lamb of God. So clearly, it is John the Baptist's job, if you will, his calling, if you will, to point to the Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John is the forerunner. John points to Jesus and says it very clearly in a beautiful line, "After me comes one who ranks ahead of me because he was before me." Which is to say, the Word made flesh. Jesus, God's notion of Jesus is before John the Baptist even exists. He ranks ahead of me. So Luther had some beautiful comments on these words from John. The first chapter in Luther's commentary on the Gospel of John, where he highlights the significance of John's proclamation of the Lamb. Trying to do the same, Luther is, to suggest to preachers, what John does is your job. Your job is to point to the Lamb. What more glorious privilege could there be, Luther said, than to proclaim to the flock the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? He also, however, indicates the challenge of saying and preaching the same. And I quote, "But the world refuses to believe it. The world does not want to concede the honor to this dear Lamb that our salvation depends entirely on his becoming our sin. The world insists on playing a role too." He goes on to say, God wishes to say to us, I see how your sin oppresses you. You would have to collapse under its heavy burden, but I shall relieve you. I will rid you of the load of your sin. When the law convicts you of sin and condemns you for your sin, from sheer mercy, I shall place the weight of your sin on the Lamb. It is entirely important, Luther says, that we know where our sin has been disposed of. The law deposits then on your conscience sin, and it shoves that sin into your bosom. But God takes that sin from us and places it on the shoulders of the Lamb. God takes that sin from us and places it on the shoulders of the Lamb. You know, I read these words from Luther this week as he commented on today's text, and I really considered the wonder of what is being suggested. My sin, your sin, however manifested, however painful, however harmful, however regretful, is forgiven. When you hear, look, the Lamb of God, and ponder the same as Luther indicated, it is such radical stuff, and we distrust it, even for our own lives, because it's not the way the world works. Most often in our lives, as spouses, as children, as grandchildren, as parents, as friends, as co-workers, as fellow members of the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, our approach to the sins of the other, our approach to the one who has hurt us or offended us, is to get some form of retribution. Or if not retribution, to guarantee somehow that the hurt will never happen again. It is also the case that when we are sinned, we often feel the need to sin likewise, to get revenge under the guise of fairness. For some even claim a notion of justice. It's just justice, Pastor, that I get my just deserts. I have been sinned against. So it ends up being tit for tat, eye for eye, hurt for hurt, unkind word for unkind word. So we function with others in that law orientation that Luther talked about. We shove the sins of the other into their bosom that they not forget that they have harmed us. We deposit the sins of the other in their conscience, searing that same conscience with our words of judgment and our refusal to embrace mercy. Such behavior, while all too human, is not the calling of the one who has been so radically forgiven. As the forgiven, we are called to forgive, not with caveats, not with guarantees of future behavior. I will forgive you if, not with obstacles placed in front of it, not with hurdles. Just forgive as the Lamb of God forgives. Now I can already hear the internal voices. Well, what am I supposed to do then? Am I supposed to enable bad behavior? Forgive, forgive, forgive. That sounds not like forgiveness. That sounds like codependency. You know, it always strikes me as odd that Christians of all people immediately upon hearing unconditional grace, immediately upon hearing the same, want to figure out a way to object. Want to figure out a way to engage their own worldly standards and notions of what justice is. And I am suspicious that many of our objections regarding forgiveness unconditionally made known have more to do with self-protection than any gospel orientation. So for now, in this sermon, in this moment, I am simply going to stay with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as I stay there, I realize all over again a God who bore my sins, our sins, a God who has expressed God's mercy in a beleaguered human being with arms outstretched on a cross. And I will realize all over again that as forgiveness cost Jesus his life, so forgiveness will cost us something. It will cost us our pride. It will cost us our need for self-regard. It will cost us our rationalizations about being the poor sinned against. Forgiveness will cost us to let loose of our anger, to let loose of our hurt. Forgiveness will cost us because we will not be called any longer to keep picking at the wound. It cost the Lamb of God and his very life a blood sacrifice, a sense of his own betrayal by God, a loneliness, a betrayal by his own disciples. It cost Jesus everything. However, the beauty of the same, the wonder of the same, is what we hear in today's gospel from John pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And yes, I have to say, I think it's quite fitting that the first words that Jesus ever speaks in the Gospel of John are the first words that he ever speaks in this short section of Scripture today. The first words that he speaks in the whole of the text of John are these words. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? He speaks to two disciples, but he speaks to us. And they respond to him, Rabbi, teacher. And Jesus responds back, come and see. Come and see the love of God and the mercy of God in a community that's frail. Come and see amidst the travails of the world a forgiving grace made known in your own life. Come and see the possibility of the manifestation of the wonder of God's grace in your life. You are forgiven, you are free. Come and see. What are you looking for? Come and see. Come and receive in bread and wine. Come and receive in a peace exchanged. Come and see in prayers heard. Come and see in hymns sung. Come and see. What are you looking for? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yours and mine. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.